Welcome to the Turning Point Church podcast. We pray that this message takes root in your heart and bears fruit in your life. For additional messages and other resources, you can visit us at www.tpoint.church.
Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Look back at verse 21. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Everybody say, "This day." This day. Say it out aloud. This day. This day. This day. Those two words. Show that on the screen if you hadn't already. Matt, I want you to see those two words the whole time that I'm preaching here this morning, because I want you to understand that there's a day when it happens that that's the day that the anointing of Jesus does those things which change your life. Amen? This day, Jesus is going to change lives in here today. Jesus is going to change hearts. Jesus is going to change circumstances. I didn't come here today just so we could have sermons and songs and whatever and go home and have church. We came here today to experience Jesus Christ and all that he paid the great price for, to have, for us to have. We should come in here expecting to say, "Lord, I want every bit of that anointing that you have. I need what you came to do. I don't just come in here to hear about you. I want to experience you." How many of you agree with that? Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you today for the anointing of the anointed one, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for you came to declare yourself, and your anointing is still working today. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name, that this day, broken hearts will be healed. The blind will be set free from their blindness, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, those that are oppressed, those that are bruised, oh Lord, those that are captive, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. This day, you're going to change that, and we give you glory for it by your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Not be a listener only. But I'm going to ask you to be a preacher with me today. You can be a preacher by responding verbally to a truth that you agree with. Amen? Be a preacher with me today. Wouldn't it be great if the whole house were filled with preachers? Amen. Filled with that heart to obtain Jesus. filled with that heart to see God move in this house. Amen. That if we all have that heart today. And did you know what? Jesus said that we are all kings and priests. So you have been ordained by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. He said, you go and tell the whole world. Let this gospel be preached to the whole world. That's a commission for all of us. We all are preachers. Let's all be a preacher today. Let's all be an exhorter today. Y'all help me to preach. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. It said in Psalms 118:24, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, Jesus was referring to Isaiah chapter 61, and I want to turn over and I want to read that. If you want to look at that with me, then you can do that. But the interesting thing here, the first song that was sung today, and I didn't know what lyrics were in that song. I'd never heard that song before. But it's really fascinating to me, and no coincidence, that some of the lyrics were out of Isaiah 61 that we're preaching out of today. Do y'all acknowledge things like that? Do y'all notice things like that? Don't you think it's good we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways so that we know that we're in the right path? Isn't that right, Brother David? That we know that we are in the flow of what God is doing. And that tells me that what I see, look, is Isaiah 60 is going to happen because we respond to the Word of God. Look, as Isaiah 61, the first verse said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This was when it was being prophesied. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And this is the part that was in the song this morning. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Boy, what a great exchange day this can be. Wouldn't you like to exchange these things today? Amen? Why don't we have an exchange service today? Let's exchange our sorrow for joy, and let's exchange our ashes for beauty. Amen? And let's have the garment of praise. Let's dress right before the Lord today. Amen? So instead of the spirit of heaviness, we have the spirit of praise upon us. He said that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And what's the bottom line of this? That he might be glorified. God desires to be glorified in this place today. And the way he is glorified is through the anointing working to change us to those things that God intended for us. To destroy the works of the enemy. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed and he went about doing good, destroying all the work of the enemy. I'd love to see the enemy's work destroyed in here today. I want to see you go out of here with the freedom that God intended for you to have. I want to see you go out of here today not with heavy burdens upon your shoulders and not yoked by anything that is holding you back. Amen? Are y'all desirous of that today? I can tell you, there's no doubt that the brokenhearted, the blind, the captives, the bruised walked into this door today. How do I know that? Because I know the world we live in. And I know it's a world of sin. Every one of these things that have been named, somehow sin has something to do with it. Somehow sin has something to do with it. It's either something in your own life or something that happened as a result from somebody else's sin. And you become a recipient of their actions. But either way, you don't have bruising and you don't have brokenheartedness, and you don't have captivity, you don't have these things happen without sin being underneath it somewhere. Because these are all the opposite of what God has for us. These do not speak of the work of righteousness. They speak of the work of sin in the flesh. Amen? The poor are, if you are the poor, you are those that are meek and humble. And you're humbled because of the circumstances of your life. You're poor in spirit. You don't have enough of God. You don't have enough faith. You don't have enough liberty. You don't have enough confidence in God. Or you're actually poor physically. You can be poor in your means. Jesus died to give us provisions in everything. Our God shall supply all of our needs. Amen? You are destitute of comfort and enjoyment. In other words, is it hard for you to find any comfort and enjoyment in life? Does it seem like your past is sad, your presence is sad, and your future looks sad? If it does, then you're poor. But the Lord is anointed to bring you good news. There's good news for you today. Jesus has good news for you today. You're the brokenhearted if you feel spiritual bankruptcy and helplessness, and you are longing for the help and salvation of God. You are saying, God, where are you? I'm hurting here. There's several things that break our hearts, just to name a few. One is shame, and that's the shame of our own sense of sin, of how we come short of the glory of God. And there's this feeling of condemnation or divine disapproval. And it's the fear of God punishing us instead of blessing us. And we're brokenhearted over that. Or it's overwhelming sorrow. And sometimes it can be a very crushing disappointment to us. Or it may be a sickness that's wearing on you. You've been dealing with a continual sickness, and it's just wearing you down, and it's breaking your heart. Or it's over some loss that you have suffered, or some mistake that you've made. You tried something, and it failed, and so you have this sense of failure. Or it could be something that someone else has broke your heart and has failed you. You're brokenhearted. But Jesus said he is anointed to heal the broken heart. Psalms 34 and 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalms 147, 3, he healeth the broken in heart and he binds up their wounds. That's a promise of God. Can I read that again? He heals the broken heart. Who does? Everybody say his name. Jesus. Say, Jesus heals the broken heart. You are captive somewhere else. And, you know, it's like they used to take captive people and they would take them to a foreign land and they'd hold them captive there. They would take them from where they belong to a place they don't belong. Are you living in a place in life that you don't belong? Are you living in a territory somehow in your mind and in your heart and that in your emotions that you don't belong there? That's not what God had for you. That's not what God intended for you. You're out of the place that is associated with the blessings of God. And instead, you're in a place that's associated with feeling bound and unable to do what you believe that is inside of you to do and be what is inside of you to be. But you're captive. But praise the Lord, Jesus said he is here to deliver you. He is here to deliver you. If you are captive and you're not in the place of where the blessings are and you feel like you're in a foreign place and you're watching everybody else over there getting blessed, but you're not, I want to tell you, God's going to move you today and deliver you out of that captivity and bring you to the place of blessing. Amen. Shouting don't scare me. You can shout all you want. It would be okay to shout over good news. Your captivity can be the result of sin. You know, sin is like, at first it's a mistake, it's a wrong choice, it's a transgression, but then soon it becomes a tyranny, and it becomes like where you're enslaved to it. It has a power to it to hold you in its grasp, and you become captive to that sin. It can be error in your judgment. It can be folly. It can be a vice such as profanity. Maybe you just curse a lot, and you can't seem to break. And it's like that's the only way you know how to deal with things is you curse. Or you drink. Or you take drugs. And you have no other way to deal with it. That's your way of dealing with things. Or you watch things that you shouldn't be watching. And it becomes your vice. And this vice, it just brings you into a fear of condemnation of God, because you know it's wrong, but you're captive to it and you can't seem to break out of it. And so it compels you to go directions that you know you shouldn't be going, and it ties you to positions and agreement with people you know you shouldn't be agreeing with. That it could be rebellion against God that brings you into captivity. It's you're withholding your heart and your life from God and serving Him. And you do it for so long that even when you think about repenting and returning to God, you find yourself unable to do so. You find yourself still held in that sinful state. You wanted to go up to that altar. You know you should go up to that altar, but something keeps you held back because you have found you're captive and you don't know it. It's going to take the anointing to break that. It's going to take the anointing of Jesus to deliver you. But I have good news. Praise God, He is anointed. And this day it is fulfilled. He said, this day it's fulfilled. Don't look at it. This is going to happen for you in the future. Your freedom's coming in the future. One day I'm going to overcome this. One day I'm going to stop this. One day I'm going to quit this. One day I'm going to serve God with all my heart. But I got to get my life together first. Oh, fooey. That's ridiculous, and you know it. It's the excuse the enemy has handed you on a silver platter to keep using over and over. And he's over here laughing. As long as you keep believing that, I got you. And he keeps making a fool of you. Call out to him today. Say, Lord, I need the anointing to deliver me. I am captive to these things. I cannot break it. I've tried to break free myself, but only Lord, only you can do this. Deliver me today. I'm a captive one. Deliver me by your anointing. Psalms 102:20 says that he hears the groaning of the prisoner to loose those that are appointed to death. This is like living a living death. You're not living, you're existing. You're just trying to keep your head above water. Psalms 107:10-14, I love this scriptures here. It says, such as set in darkness, because captivity, imagine, one has been captive in a prison, and it's dark in that prison. And these prisons back then, they were dungeons. There was no light. They didn't have windows. They didn't have the privilege of the prisons we see today. They stunk. There was a stench. There was craziness in it. There was no care. It was all about punishment. It wasn't about rehabilitation. And that's the way sometimes the captives feel. They feel like their life is being punished of death, bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. There was none to help. Do you feel like that? There's none to help. But listen to this. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their bands in sunder. This day, do it, Lord. This day, bring them out. This day, bring the captive out. This day, bring them out of darkness. Amen. Amen. This day, you are blind. You're blind if it feels like your life is in a smoke. Imagine a house that's burning and filled with smoke. They say that's a lot of times what kills people. They can't find their way out. The smoke gets them, and they can't see. And you feel like your house is burning, but you can't find your way out. You're in a smoke. You're blind. You're disoriented. You don't know which way to go. It's being without revelation, and you're trying to through life. You're just trying to go, and your feelings or this one day and this another, and you're trying to feel your way through life. I remember playing those little pinball machines. And that little ball would come over here, and it'd bounce off of this over here. And then it'd bounce off of this over here. And then you'd flip that thing back up there so it'd bounce off of this and bounce. That's the way some people's lives are. They bounce off of this feeling. And then they bounce off of this feeling. And then they start, now this is the way to go. Then whoop, whoa, then they hit another feeling. And it bounces and throws them another way. Going from feeling to feeling. With no direction. That's not the Lord. The Lord said he establishes our thoughts. He orders our steps. Amen. Said as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's bad to be blind. Would you agree? I mean, it's bad to be physically blind. A person that's physically blind can never see the countenance of the face that somebody loves and can never see it on their face. Can never see the beauty of the countryside or a blue sky like we see today or sunshine. It's just always dark. Well, that's a picture of the way it is, can be with us spiritually. But it's worse to be mentally blind. To see and yet not see. Jesus addressed that. He said, you have eyes, but you see not. In other words, you don't have any understanding. You don't understand what I'm telling you. You don't understand what God is about. You don't understand what he's telling you. To be morally blind is even worse than that. And that's to be blind so that nothing seems degraded to you. Nothing is wrong. There's nothing wrong with being drunk. There's nothing wrong with cursing. There's nothing wrong with profanity. Just live your life. There's just nothing wrong with you. You don't see anything wrong with that. And you also don't see any good in trying to be good. You're just morally blind. You just morally cannot see what God is about. You cannot see that. It's worst of all to be spiritually blind. You can be physically, mentally, morally, but the worst is spiritually blind. Why? Root and source of all other blindness of the spirit, a darkness in which our soul cannot see God for who he is, and we can't see ourselves for who we are. I remember that Isaiah, when he had that vision of the Lord who was high and lifted up, he finally saw the Lord for who he was. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his glory filled the temple. But then the Lord had an angel come and touch Isaiah's lips with a coal. And then Isaiah saw himself for what he was. He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Here he was, a spokesman, a preacher for God, a prophet. And he has to realize, I've got unclean speech. Woe is me. Until we see God for who he is and see ourselves for what we are, we're not going to have the revelation that will change our lives. But Jesus is anointed to recover sight, to the blind so we can see God for who he is once again. Hallelujah. Amen. To see him as the righteous one, the holy one, the one of love, the one of forgiveness, the one of mercy, not of condemnation and destruction, but praise God, the one who's come to help us, to save us, to bring us out of trouble, to lift us up, and to put us on a path of righteousness and blessing. Hallelujah. And we see ourselves as needing him. We see ourselves say, God, I don't want to live without you. I need you. Isaiah 42:7 says, to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness in the prison house. Said in Psalms 146:8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind and the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth righteousness. Then bruised. These are the bruised people. You're bruised if you Jesus, or your spirit's been crushed. Those are the ones that you are worn with the worries of life. Worries have just worn. And it seemed like that they're even harassing you. You can't get a decent night's sleep. You can't even have a day complete without a worry. Or you're perplexed with the problems of life. And you keep trying to come up with these theories that explain what you're going through and why you're going through to find some kind of peace about it. But in reality, apart from knowing God's will, you'll never have a peace about it. Those that are constantly smitten by the persecutions of life. In other words, there's just always some kind of something that is in conflict. They're in conflict with other people. They're in conflict with themselves. There's always conflict, and it just crushes them. It just breaks them into. It seems like nothing can be whole. It's just bruised. And then those that are wounded by heavy sorrows. It can be from your health. It can be from your position or fortune. Maybe your fortune didn't turn out like it should. Maybe you lost position. Maybe you're in a high position with a company one time, and now you had to start over. Maybe you started your own business one time, and it failed. And now you've had to get a job you didn't expect you'd have to get. You're in sorrow. Jesus said, he is anointed to set you free. He said to set you at liberty. Liberty. That word liberty means to be unrestrained again. You know, my experience with doctors, and maybe your experience when you've ever had any kind of surgery or shots or whatever, you can get bruised. It seems like it takes a long time for that bruise to heal. But it's a reminder of something that hurt you. You that are bruised, you keep seeing reminders of something that hurt you in the past. But I have really good news for you. Amen. Jesus is anointed to set you at liberty, to free you from that. You don't have to go around with that any longer. He will heal you. If the Lord heal you, you are healed. Everybody say, this day. This day means what? It means when it comes true for you. When the anointing works for you. When Jesus does for you what he said he is anointed to do. When the day of healing and deliverance and salvation and restoration come true for you. The woman at the well was telling Jesus, she was telling him about the coming Messiah. And he says, hey, I'm right here. That's who you're talking to. It's like we're waiting for something, our answer to come in the future somewhere. I want to tell you, church, we're not waiting any longer for the anointing that can do these things that I've just described and can heal everything that's just been described. Praise God, Jesus is here. We sang about it this morning. Jesus is here. The anointed one is here. There's no more waiting. This day, say it again, this day. Jesus was in his hometown when he was preaching this, and they were stumbling at him. Well, isn't this Joseph, that carpenter's son? Isn't this he? Let me tell you, I may not be the one that you thought was going to pray for you, or maybe one of these people that will be praying for you, because we're going to have prayer in just a few minutes here. And maybe that's not the one you thought. Maybe you thought somebody was going to come from out of town and some great name evangelist or something else was going to happen, or a light come from heaven in your house or whatever, and God was going to do all this great deliverance and healing of you. It may not come through who you thought it was going to come through. But it's not them anyway. It's the anointing. The reason that Jesus could do those things because he was anointed. He said, I am anointed to do these things. And that anointing is ours today. He said the Holy Spirit, praise God, is not just for this generation, but it's for the generations to come. Praise God, we have the anointing of Jesus Christ because he's in me. The works that he did, he said, greater works shall you do. When we release the anointing of Jesus, it's Jesus himself this day saying, this day, this is fulfilled in your ears. It's the anointing that will heal you. It's not the person. Amen. It's not the conditions. It's whether you are ready to receive him. Read something to you. Someone wrote just recently. I wish I could cry on the outside like I'm crying on the inside. I wish I could let it show. I wish I could let the tears flow. So many years I've held the pain. I've learned how to be restrained. But I wish, Lord, I wish I could cry. Like a storm, it keeps building inside. When will the tears fall like rain, every drop releasing pain? Why I can't, I don't know. Lord, help me to let it go. I wish I could. Oh, I wish I could cry. I've tried to be strong, but I've been wrong to hold it in for so long. It's more than I can contain. My heart can't stand the strain. I need to release what I feel. I am ready to be healed. So give me the strength, O Lord, the strength to cry. I cried to the Lord in my distress, and he saved me out of all my trouble. In just a moment, this altar is going to be filled with the anointing, healing broken hearts, recovering sight to the blind, delivering captives, setting at liberty those that are bruised. I speak from personal testimony that he is well able. His spirit is power. Amen. It's a powerful anointing. I know that because those are words that I wrote one time. To feel like that the God answer is for you to handle it and contain it. That's being strong. But that's not the strength the Lord came to give us. Our strength is through freedom, not through containing. Our strength is through being healed, not through handling. Our strength is through being delivered, not depressing it. I'm not going to try to be strong to hold it in any longer. For Lord, I need a healer. I need a helper. I need a deliverer. I cannot do this and fight these battles without you. I need the Lord to fight my battles. I need the Lord to deliver me. God, heal me. I'm ready to let it go. I'm ready to stop trying to handle it myself. I'm ready to let you be you. This day, heal me. This day, save me. This day, touch me. This day.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Turning Point Church. To stay connected, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, we'd love for you to join us for a Sunday or midweek service. God bless you and have a wonderful week.